Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, talk now.
Am I supposed to do anything here? Okay, good.
Who are you?
Ed Goncharowski. Ed Goncharowski. Class of 71. Darn glad to meet you.
If you had a different radio name, what would it be? Now, John Hines is your real name, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I just did that because...
Have you ever had a different radio name?
No, no.
Ever?
No.
In all your years?
No.
Nobody said, pulled you aside, said, hey, we want you... We want
put a little
you to
something
be,
snappy in there?
We want you to be Buck Taylor.
Yeah, yeah. No, it never came up. You know, because it was only a short while that I was gone, and then the rest of the time when I had a chance to move back here... John Hines, by the way, in for Chad Hartman today. That's Adam Carter. Lindsay Gensel's in charge of everything, so I'm just along for the ride. But then after that, I was back home, and I thought, well, you know, he's got a very large family. Let's see if we can at least attract them as listeners. And it didn't work, but it was a valiant effort, nevertheless. So, yes, darn glad to be here.
That's surprising to me. I would think at some point in your career, you would have had a radio name.
You know, but here was the thing, working with partners.
Yeah, it's...
It was easy to shorten it, because it was just, you know, Hines and Bush, or right. Hines and Berglund. You know, Donna Hines and Muss, whatever. So, yeah, it was downright easy.
Yeah, I really failed in the whole coming up with a radio name when you have a last name that no one can pronounce or spell. Just yeah. It's a doozy of a double whammy.
Do people ever look at your last name and go, Gwensel?
Oh, the butchering of my last name is just, it's comical. That was the fun part growing up, though. John and I, my John.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose last name is Bjorklund, and it's spelled, you know.
Bjorklund.
Bjork, yeah, exactly. We had Bjorn, that moment Bjorn. This morning yeah. When I called you and his number came up, or his name came up, talking about when telemarketers would call. You guys probably got more telemarketers getting through because Hines and Carter are easier to pronounce.
Right.
When your last name no one can pronounce, it's easy to pick out the telemarketers pretty easily before yeah. You hand the phone over to mom and dad.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, yeah. My thing is, it's funny, is because of being in from Minnesota, and he no longer works there, but everyone just assumes that I'm Mike Gensel's daughter. Mike
yeah.
Gensel was the assistant coach at the University of Minnesota forever, and obviously his son... Pretty good hockey player, you know, won a Stanley Cup a few years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah, that whole pesky thing.
Yeah, you know, just real, I mean, mediocre career so yeah, far for yeah. Being like 23
We're still
years
hoping
old.
That things good turn
exactly.
out for him, yes.
No, but I kind of wish that I had a fun radio name.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I worked
why
with
it. Change it. Do it midstream. Why not?
So start, just yeah. Start calling myself
at the
something
new year.
Else.
How about just January 1st or 2nd, come back with a new name.
We'll take
don't look me in the eye.
We'll Donna.
We'll take Lindsay.
Just
we'll take,
one name, Donna.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. We'll take Lindsay and turn it into linseed oil. No?
No.
No, wrong. Okay.
I smell sponsorship.
Real quick, though, I stumbled upon her Instagram the other night, and I forgot she was still around. Delilah? Is Delilah her real name?
Boy, I doubt that. Unless she was named after a Tom Jones
Tom
song.
Jones song.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Someone who has taken what was a niche little market of being like this thoughtful individual and has made a lot of money.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
We should do that. We should pitch a John Hines, Adam Carter, Lindsay Gensel therapy show, you know, 9 to 10 at night. We'll play slow jams.
Yep.
Michael Bolton in the background.
Yeah.
And we'll dissect people's problems.
I like that. And even though we don't have a clue, we'll act like we do.
That's the point.
That's the point.
What I do every single day.
I've heard the Love Doctor on this show
yeah.
before, so I know that you don't have to know anything. And, you know, believe me, I could be giving that kind of advice.
That was very hurtful to the Love Doctor. He could be listening right now. Yeah.
I doubt it. Yeah, I doubt it. So what time do you kick into the news?
Anytime.
Right
you
about
want.
Now?
Anytime.
Then
you
I'll
want,
just
John.
I'll just step away.
You're in
away.
Charge here. We're just swimming in your wake.
Yeah, and we're in a no wake zone, so we're fine. Yeah, I'm just idling through the cove. a bit of sanity restored in the world recently. You may have seen this. I think I saw it overnight or very early this morning that Frontier Airlines, did you see this story? Made the woman with the emotional support squirrel get off the airplane. You can't bring a squirrel on an airplane.
What the hell kind of country is this? Frontier Airlines. You should be able to bring an elk on the plane.
It's in your name.
Yes.
Well, see, by the very definition of it, I'm a lover of all things nature. But all things nature belong outside. They belong outside.
Doesn't mean I want to be flying with it.
With a squirrel. I don't want to be flying with a squirrel. So, okay, if that thing gets out, you know, just like, whoa.
A lot of wires on that plane that are critical to the operation of it.
Just gnaw through. Well, I'm glad it wasn't in the baggage compartment either, should it be able to get through its cage and start to cut the wires for the ailerons. Is that the right word?
Sounds those good flaps. To me. They sound critical. Whatever it is.
No, it's funny that the squirrel story is making the rounds because we are having our own little conundrum with squirrels in our backyard.
Ah.
So we have a compost pile. And I put out some apples that we got from the orchard that had, you know, big brown spots, stuff you couldn't really eat around. They were a little too done.
Yeah.
Well, the squirrels found them in the compost pile, and now I have half-eaten apples all over my deck. Like, no lie, on the table.
They don't want to eat out there on the ground.
No.
Let's bring them up here.
Bringing them up onto the deck.
We're not savages.
So, we'll sit at the table like civilized
I'm
squirrels.
Looking out the window, and I'm like, did someone eat half an apple and just leave it on our deck? Because we did have people over for our housewarming like a week and a half ago. And then I went to the compost and found that they had figured it a way in. And they were taking these apples. And no lie, they're just everywhere. And it's kind of adorable in that sense of it's
and
cute.
You sure it's squirrels, not raccoons? Or
we do have raccoons in our neighborhood. I haven't seen any possums. I saw a fox one
night. Is it a possum
night.
Or an opossum?
It's possum.
Possum.
It's possum.
But you say the in front of it and people get confused. Yeah. It's a possum.
But there are opossums, right?
Well, I think it's the same thing.
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
I think an
well,
opossum
somebody will text and set us straight, without a doubt.
Those are vicious-looking animals, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I doubt anybody's got a comfort possum.
It's an animal that hisses.
Yeah.
Like a panther. You know, they kind of do that whole...
I think it's the same thing. They look the
same. I think
same.
So, yeah.
I don't think so.
I think they just change depending on where they live.
Yeah.
Here we go. I found it. Don't
definitive
worry.
Word. Definitive word coming down the pipe.
10 things you didn't know about opossums. Now, the first one is, where'd it go? The burning question. Is it opossum or possum?
And the answer is?
It can be both.
Don't tell me it can be.
Sorry, I mean, there's like a long history. In 1608, Captain John Smith coined the word opossum. It means white animal.
All right.
But they're not quite sure how the O was dropped, but it appeared in print as possum as early as 1613. So.
Okay.
We'll blame people who are long gone for that mistake.
Here's a text that came in just moments ago. Hissing is a possum's only defense. They're very gentle animals. But if you see one wandering around in the daytime.
They don't look too gentle.
It's probably rabid.
Yeah.
Because they're nocturnal, I believe. Aren't they nocturnal?
Yeah.
Well, from my Mother Nature network, I have found out that they have superpowers against snakes. They have partial or total immunity to the venom produced by rattlesnakes, cottonmouths, and other pit vipers.
I was married to somebody like that.
John.
It was called.
I tried. I put snakes in there. Nothing ever worked.
It was just called professional courtesy.
Well, they're one of those animals that play dead.
Yes.
You know, they get caught and then
they
play dead.
That's not unlike, I don't have to go back to that again, but yes.
Are we doing that therapy?
No,
is
we're
that
not.
What we want to go
no,
into?
No, we're not. No. Here's a text. I like this one. An armadillo is a tactical possum.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. And they do not get rabies, it says. Okay. Possums eat ticks, so they're all very good. They're all very good all the way around. Hey, I want to take a break here because coming up, We need to get an update from somebody who has got, you know, as they say, eyes in the situation here, feet on the ground in Florida. And we're going to do that next with reporter Rob Milford from CBS News, who has been reporting from Florida for CBS here for the last couple of days. So we'll get an update coming up in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. 20 minutes after 12 o'clock here, John Hines with you on this Thursday afternoon, in for Chad Hartman. Chad will be back tomorrow, joined by Rob Milford from CBS News, who's been reporting on the on Hurricane Michael as it swept across the panhandle beginning yesterday and moved quite quickly out of the state. I believe it looks from the maps that I see, Rob, that it's practically crossed all of Georgia by this point, although there still is some rain showers in the aftermath. How are you doing this morning or this afternoon here?
Yes. We're in the same time zone. It's okay, John. We are okay. Suffice to say, we're at the far end of the same time zone, and we are okay. It is a beautiful sunny day. It is 87 degrees. We actually had a cold front blow through after the storm, and it's only 87. This time Monday, it was about 93. But this morning I got up, it was 72. We almost put on sweaters.
When we are watching CBS News, Rob, we are seeing some images of just horrific damage. I mean, damage that people, I don't think they even anticipated this, as this storm continued to build up in intensity as it crossed the warm Gulf waters to the point where I think people who did stay behind and try to ride it out are now saying things like, "I will never do that again."
Correct. And that is, experience is the greatest teacher. And maybe that's why the loss of life was so small. With more, try this on for size, with more media coverage, meaning more media sources, instead of having three network TV crews out there, about 10 or 20, right? And people are shooting Facebook video. It's on Twitter. And that's connecting with people going, no, we're going to evacuate. We're not going to stick it out. Boom. They left. The death toll in Florida, one. This is the third most powerful hurricane in history. And one person died. It's a tragedy for that family, to be sure, but it works to tell people to get out, to leave, to evacuate and go now, and everybody did, and that's why the loss of life is so small.
Do you have any reports, Rob, chatting with Rob Milford from CBS News here, do you have any reports at all about how many people at this hour, say, remain without power? I know it's got to be just substantial. I think I heard, was it 80,000 or 800? I mean, just crazy, the numbers, and there's so much infrastructure that needs to be put back in place. What have you heard?
First off, it's all of the infrastructure needs to be replaced. There are probably a few poles that are still good. The working number we had this morning was 600,000.
That's okay.
That was Florida, Alabama, and Georgia. I know as the day has progressed, they can fix a lot of that stuff. That number certainly has gone down, but I mean, let's go with several hundred thousand right now, and those are total customers. That's not people. That's total customers. So you could have three, four people in a house. You do your own math, and you would appreciate this. Interstate 10 is closed because after Michael hit Panama City, there's not a lot in about an hour north except about a bazillion pine trees because it's a timber plantation. It's a giant piece of land with just a couple of small towns there without even a flashing light. A lot of trees. The storm crossed in its entirety over Interstate 10. Interstate 10 now has trees and billboards and the roofs of chicken coops all over it for about 50, 60 miles, both east and westbound, and it's closed.
Is there still, just to give us a picture here, is there still standing water inland at places like Panama City, or has that been able to retreat to the sea?
Oh, no, there is plenty of standing water in the ditch between. You got a four-lane road, you got a ditch between them, and there is still plenty of standing water. There's some places along the beach road, State Highway 30, that have not drained yet but are in the process of. Otherwise, it's really pretty dry.
So what do you see, or what is your sense about a cleanup effort beginning?
Oh, believe me, it has begun. I have a friend. I live in Pensacola. I have a friend who has a tree trimming company up there. He's got 14 trucks and 26 employees, and every one of them came down, and he hired more guys just to run back and forth with fuel cans and food for the guys so they can stay working from sun up to sundown and then some. They will be nonstop going door to door, clearing the streets, hauling off the debris. Those big, it's like somebody has an 18-wheeler and the trailer's got no roof on it. They just dump all of the limbs in there, and they will, generally speaking, hurricane towns will build a giant mountain out of all of their hurricane debris. And then they will put dirt on top of it and make it a hill so kids in Florida know what a hill really is.
That's good that you can maintain a sense of humor. You mentioned your home in Pensacola, and you are away from there reporting. What have you heard about damages in that area?
I had two limbs down in my yard when I got home yesterday, and I went and grabbed one, and I grabbed the other, and then I squeezed them, and they broke. It was, I mean, nothing, no damage at all. I'm coming through earlier today. Let's go ahead and clear that. Pensacola Beach, fine. Navarre Beach, what's next? Fort Walton is fine. Destin is fine. Sandestin's fine. Miramar is fine. It's when you get to basically Bay County, which is Panama City, when you really start seeing damage. I mean, a couple of trees knocked down, no big deal. But when you get to the Bay County, boy, you can tell there was a hurricane. There's no doubt about that.
And now it is, diminished to the point of being a tropical storm as it continues to move across and make its way up the eastern seaboard. Suffice it to say, people, as sad as it was for that area of Panama City, and especially out on the panhandle, it's probably good that this thing just sort of blew itself out so quickly. And also with the fast moving, I get the sense from the reports that I've heard from you and others that far less rain compared to the earlier storm.
Yes. That it's still taken into Georgia. It was taking 4 to 6 inches of rain with it. Again, what's the previous storm we were looking at? Florence. Florence was an aberration. It came on shore, kind of, and it rained a lot, and then it moved this way a little bit, that way, and it just rained and rained and rained, what, 3, 4, 5 days of rain, and didn't move. And Michael had a place to go. He's got like a hot date with the Chesapeake Bay later tonight, I think. And he's going north big time, high speed. So I hope that helps. Trust me, you're going to see donations on Facebook or maybe a GoFundMe account for the hurricane. I suspect that they are going to need some help. A lot of people are going to have to rebuild their lives because there is no house, there is no job, there is no building where the job was. But again, the miracle is you can always replace stuff. You can't replace people. And the panhandle got real lucky with that.
Rob, thank you for the reporting. I appreciate it. You draw a very vivid picture for us, although still a very disheartening, sad picture. You do a great job of telling the story. I thank you.
Thank you, John. Take care.
Take care. Again, Rob Milford reporting from CBS News, reporting from, he is just, I believe, to the west of Panama City, where the devastation is just darn difficult to imagine or fathom unless you're in the middle of it. So, yeah, I've never been in a storm like that. But it's an interesting question. Have you ever been touched by a storm like that or something else? In our part of the country, it's a tornado. And we were talking about how quickly the water retreated there, unlike other storms like Maria going across Puerto Rico, where the water just stood feet deep for the longest time. This situation, he said, much of the water has already receded, gone back out to shore, so people can get up and begin a cleanup effort. We see that with tornado damage here in this area. Have you ever been touched by a storm like that? You can call us 651-989-9226 if you have an interesting story, or send a text at 81807. I'd love to pass it along. But since this is a talk show, we should do that.
The story that jumps out to me when thinking about, you know, listening to Rob talk about just the infrastructure that has to be rebuilt and these people who have lost their homes and lost where they were working. And, you know, we just had the tornadoes, was it last month, September, that went through southern Minnesota?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Red Barn in Northfield. You know, it's this gorgeous barn. They do pizza and weddings. And you'd think, I think the statistic I saw from Kate Raddatz at WCCO-TV was they had weddings booked out for 2 years. So you think 2 years of your income in one moment is gone.
Yeah.
And how do you pick yourself up and get going? And not just the sense of the people who own the barn, but the people who have these momentous occasions planned there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, they were showing the story of the woman who was supposed to get married there that weekend, and they were just starting over from ground zero. And I get it. It's just a wedding at the end of the day.
It's not the
no
same
one
as,
was hurt.
Yeah.
You can rebuild all of those things. But I just, you know, it takes a great amount of human spirit to pick yourself up after something like that.
Yeah. So if you've been through that, go ahead and call us, 651-989-9226, or send a text at 81807. Love to hear from you on this. Have you been touched by some sort of act of nature or some sort of horrific event like that? And what was it like to try to rebuild and put it back together again afterwards? We'll take your calls, comments coming up here on WCCO. Chad will be back tomorrow. This is my first opportunity to fill in since I stepped away. So nice that they hadn't lost my number. I appreciate that. Adam Carter in the studio, Lindsay Gensel in charge, and I'm just here. But I asked this question before we got to the traffic, weather, and the news break about have you ever been touched by a disaster? Perhaps not a hurricane, certainly not in this part of the country, although we got a text from somebody who said that they were right on the edge of one when they were much younger. I'll share that in a moment. But a tornado, perhaps, something of that nature? Share the story. 651-989-9226. That's the best way to get it across because we don't always get the nuance or the intention when you send a text. Adam, you were talking about being on the edge of what looked like a pretty serious forest fire.
Yeah, well, the back there were two forest fires up in the Boundary Waters. I forget. One was in 2007 for sure. I forget when the other one was. They were a couple of years apart, but one of them I went up to cover and drove up the Gunflint Trail and where they had kind of their headquarters set up for the DNR and other agencies that were doing the firefighting. And I remember we were stationed at, I think it's the Gunflint Lodge, on beautiful location on Gunflint Lake. And the flames were on the north end of the lake, which I think is Canada. I might be wrong on that. But you could see the flames kind of coming over the hill.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, if it weren't destructive, I mean, it's a beautiful sight, I mean, to see these flames and the trees. But anyway, they had all these aircraft, these big floating aircraft that they land on the water, but they never stop. They can fill up their tanks as they land.
Just skim, yeah, just kind of
skim over the water, and it fills up their tanks, and then they would fly over and dump the water on the fire, and there are also helicopters. And we were sitting just right on the edge of this, kind of had a front seat for that. I never really were in any danger, and thankfully a lot of the structures up there have these sprinkler systems that they're powered by propane. And it's almost like a sprinkler system in a building when it gets a certain heat level.
Yeah,
The sprinklers start going on your house, and they keep your roof wet.
And
the grass around it. Of course, you know, if it's a super intense fire, it's probably not going to stop that.
That's forward thinking, though.
I graduated from Gustavus in 98. That was the year of the tornado in St. Peter. And I was gone for the tornado, but I came back for graduation that May, and it's still
didn't look at all the same, did it?
It was just jaw dropping. I mean, we were at a couple graduation parties where there was a house on a block that was completely leveled. Then there were two houses that were fine. Then another two houses that were destroyed. So you could tell where the tornado was just kind of skipping. And it's just, I mean, that's when you see. And I've covered tornadoes for CC. I remember one being at one in Ladysmith tornado. Or Ladysmith, Wisconsin, where they had a tornado, and there was a full-size Chevy pickup truck in a tree, like wrapped in a tree.
Yeah, that wasn't that tremendously long ago either, was it?
That's
right up around Siren. Mm-hmm. I remember that very well, sure. A building on this side of the street, gone. My grandparents lived, and I remember this because I'm old enough to remember this, but in Fridley. And 1965, we're all familiar with the Fridley tornadoes. If you've been to the History Center, you've heard the WCCO broadcasts from the tornadoes that time and such. But my grandparents lived right off of Pilot, or on Pilot, just off of Main in Fridley. And their house, a couple of the shingles off the roof gone. The house next door wasn't the house next door. It was the house down the road just a bit. So, yeah, it's amazing how that happens. But this text says, my family was tent camping across the southern U.S. when I was a child, and I vaguely recall my parents intensely packing up quickly one morning outside New Orleans. Apparently, there was not much warning, and we escaped the landfall of Hurricane Camille by a half day or so. That was another pretty darn serious storm. So 651-989-9226 or a text from 81807. You wonder, where do you start? How do you begin to rebuild after a situation like that? Amazing when you look at the devastation from Panama City and nothing that resembles anything anymore. It's I saw one image of these the boat canopies from the boat lifts or the slips. The boat canopies are still there. Nothing else is there, but it's absolutely incredible in the possibilities that are there.
I think it's easy for us to sit here and we're like, oh, people will get up and rebuild. But if you've never been through a disaster, and thankfully, knock on wood, I haven't, but I have a friend who was in the Virgin Islands when Harvey hit.
Right.
And their whole house gone. And I spoke with her a few days afterwards, and she was talking about sitting in the lower level of their home. They had another couple who had lived closer to the water that they had invited. So they had three dogs and four people in this tiny bathroom. And she talked about how you could feel the second floor of their home being taken off. And that's when the water started coming in. And so then they had to move. And you know, once the storm passed, I think it took – I mean, they just got paid from insurance like a month or two ago. So you think of, yes, no one was injured. All of these people will be able to rebuild. But it's all of those, you know, the process of filing a claim, having someone come out. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of people doing it. So the resources are so limited. And last night on CBS Evening News, they had the FEMA group.
Sure, yes.
They were in the headquarters of FEMA. And you're just kind of sitting there going – how overworked has FEMA been in the last couple of years with these major disasters that have hit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. A friend of mine who lives out in that area drove through Santa Rosa after the firestorm in that part of Santa Rosa where it was just, you could see outline of a home, outline of a home. I mean, absolutely nothing. And he said it reminded him of pictures he had seen of bombed out Dresden in World War II, the town that was just firebombed and just torched to the ground. It just amazing. And then there was that great image of the U.S. mail truck going down the road and delivering mail to just a mailbox standing out there. But hoping somebody would come by and get it. Just an amazing story. But the rebuilding in any of that situation. And the resiliency of the people who live there and the people who have been through more than one of these. Now, there hasn't been one like this, as Rob Milford reported earlier. There hasn't been one like this to hit especially that area of Florida ever. And but still, people have been through these in other parts of the country, and they vow to rebuild.
Well, we're like almost 6 years exactly from Hurricane Sandy. And I remember I was supposed to run the New York City Marathon that year. And at the last second, I dropped out and I was like, I'm not going to do it. And that was early September. And then the hurricane hit and all the people who flew out there thinking it was going to happen were just stuck in the city with no power. And we know what happened there. We've seen the devastation that happened on the outer part of that state. Just insane.
Yeah. My girlfriend was supposed to be in Savannah, Georgia right now. But they changed their plans and they were told, yeah, come down. They're coming down on Saturday. They said it'll be fine. The sun will be shining, as Rob Milford pointed out, 87 degrees and sunny now. Again, there's still a lot to pick up, and a lot of it looks like somebody just dropped a box of toothpicks on the floor. But, you know, to get it going is one incredible story. It really is. So we got to get a break in here again anytime soon. Again, 651-989-9226 or a text at 81807. Here's a text that says, I'm overinsured. Just send me a check and I'll be moving out. So, well, okay, but where do you go? Where do you go? Well, let's move to Oklahoma. Nothing ever happens there. Yeah. Or some nice spot along Tornado Alley. Am I doing a time check here? And then am I doing a, we'll take a break. I'll take care of that when we get back. Plus, I believe we have Keyword for Cash coming up. So there's so many things to recall. We'll be right back here. WCCO. Hey, coming up here in just a minute, Diane, conversation about picking up in the aftermath of a storm. But first, Keyword for Cash. See if I remember how this goes.
It's time for this hour's national contest. The keyword for cash is
love, because that's all you need. Love is all you need. One more time, love, L, is for the, no, I'm sorry, L-O-V-E. Yeah, this is today's keyword.
That's Wednesdays.
Oh, I just pulled Tuesdays out of it. Sorry. One day back, Hines.
I know we've had that word before.
Boy, that sounds familiar.
Yes. Let's try it.
Let's try better. This one. You know, you got one job. One job, Hines. The key word for cash this hour is joke. That's what you are, Hines. You're a joke. You're nothing but a joke. One more time, joke. J-O-K-E. That's the, you text that word to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Again, the number to text, 72881. The keyword is joke. And if you don't win this time, listen for your next chance to win coming up at 1:50, about an hour from now. Messaging and data rates may apply. Please remember, don't text and drive. No, never. It's at 12:51. I'll pick up here on, Diane's been standing by. Diane.
Okay, thank you.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. Terrific. Thank
who are you talking to besides me? Who are you talking to besides me?
I'm the man at the station. I'm looking for unsalted butter.
Oh.
Okay, August 1951. I can't remember if it was the first or the third, but the Argus newspaper wrote it up. They only called it severe winds. Those severe winds ripped the corner. My dad had gotten far enough to building a basement, and we were living in it at the time. Shut the corner of the roof off. You know that silly little door they used to put on basements?
Yes.
To go down the steps?
Okay, yeah, when you didn't have the house on top of it, I remember seeing that. Yeah, when they hadn't built the house yet, there was just that standing door and then down the stairs to the basement.
Exactly. Okay, at that point, my dad has my brother and I hiding underneath one of the twin beds. The wind grabbed my little dog, Pepper, took him away, put him in a tree, killed him.
Well, gee whiz, Diane. That's an uplifting story. Diane, I'm sorry for your loss, but yeah, thanks.
I can laugh about it now.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Pepper is not. Well, maybe Pepper's laughing somewhere, looking down from that tree in heaven. So, hey, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that so very, very much. That is very thoughtful. Again, sorry for your loss at that particular point, but yeah, that's just a shame. Just a shame. Yeah, you think about this and that storm that roared through at Panama City. Not everybody can, you know, pick up their animals and move. You see this story. Well, there was so much of that. I mentioned the wildfires out in Santa Rosa that leveled that whole section of the town. Many of those people, they were talking about finding places to keep their horses at that particular time. And it's like, hey, yeah, can you watch my horse for a couple of days? Sure. Not a problem. So it's funny, though. She mentioned the basement of the house. Every now and then you'd see that, not so much in the cities, but driving through a rural area, there'd be that foundation with a roof on it, and then just one place where the door is, and the steps going down to the basement. But because we hadn't gotten around to building the house yet. It's just one thing at a time. So I remember that vividly from when I was a youngster, probably about the same time. So 651-989-9226. I can get another couple of calls in here or a text at 81807 if you'd like to do that. Just jump on here. I got to get my Linda's Construction time check in here. It's 11:54. Time to stop the water in your basement. And I bet there's no shortage of that with Leaf Guard brand gutters.
That was a timely one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had on the house that I had Leaf Guard brand gutters. And before I put them on there, even though I had extra long overhangs, water in the basement. This allowed it to go away. So a little extra, a little bonus plug out there, Andy. So I just thought I would share that with you. It's 12:54 here, 651-989-9226. And here's a text. Says, the lady tells you to have a tornado rip the dog out of her. She's laughing about it. And you tell her that's an uplifting story. That was sarcasm when I said that. I don't know. I was being nothing but sarcastic there. I apologize if you don't understand that. Hang on a second. Jim, how goes the day?
Oh, you know, living the dream.
Yeah.
Every day's an adventure. You never know what you're going to see.
You ever been in a storm situation like we've been talking about? Any of the various ones, tornadoes, hurricanes, these fires?
I was. My wife and I were down in Cancun, Mexico, October of 2005 when Hurricane Wilma came through with 185-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow.
Yeah. It looked, you know, like a normal sunny day here, and then once the hurricane hit and left, it looked like a bomb went off. I mean, it just devastated everything. They put 4,500 of us up in a shelter. The windows around the shelter were 2.5 inches thick. It blew the windows out, but we had metal shutters on the inside, so that protected us. But, yeah, we were in there. We were in the shelter for 6 days.
Wow, 6 days?
6 days, and then we got out of there and had to go to a different airport and try to get out of there, and we got out of there and got back home safe.
Was that when you were supposed to leave, Jim? Or were you
No. We were supposed to we were actually supposed to leave on the 7th day, but the Cancun airport just got completely destroyed. There was nothing there pretty much, so then we had to go to a different city in Mexico to fly out of there to come back to the United States.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and that's just an inconvenience for a tourist somewhere. When you think about the people you left and the people who are left behind and have to go through the cleanup and the pickup. And as we've been talking about, put your lives together all over again in that particular case.
Well, yeah. And the thing that gets me, too, is we got told Thursday morning we were going to a shelter in the afternoon. They were still flying people into Cancun Airport that day. So those people came right from the airport to the resorts, right into a shelter, and got stuck in Hurricane Wilma.
Wow. Hey, thanks for the call in, Jim. Yeah, I appreciate that, trying to put a little perspective on it. And it is a different situation from a tourism standpoint versus the people who had their lives just totally torn apart. Got more calls coming in now. I wish we would have gotten through sooner because we're running up against the clock here, and I need to get to a break. Hey, I want to mention this, too, though. Coming up this Saturday, it's Tommy Johnny Week on CCO. You're invited to join us live in Collegeville this Saturday for one of the college football's greatest rivalries, St. Thomas, St. John's. Dave Lee and Eric Nelson will take you through a classic matchup of two of the nation's best teams. Pre-game 12:50, kickoff at 1 this coming Saturday. News Talk 830 WCCO. So make a note of it. Make a mental note. No, better yet, write it down. And by the way, John Hines just in for Chad Hartman, only for today. He will be back with us tomorrow. We're going to get some sunshine tomorrow. And Chad will, you know Chad, he'll bring the sunshine back when he returns. He's just an endless ray of sunshine in your lives. I know he has been in mine. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.